What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls, but it is Wednesday. That means it's a Whiteout Wednesday with Jason Avant, sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Studio, Dental Studio, part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good under the circumstances.
Yeah, the circumstances are not great.
Not great at all.
I was hoping when you got in here this week, we're getting ready for the Eagles and the Bears, which would have been a fun game, but instead...
You know who is happy?
Who's that?
Not the Bears. The Bears are sad that the Eagles lost.
Yeah, they got to face the Rams now.
Literally. You know, my family's from Chicago.
They wanted the Eagles.
They called me pissed off.
They thought they were going to beat the brakes off us, huh? Bring forth the sacrificial lamb.
That offense, we want that one. All right, Jason, we'll get into a lot this hour. Obviously, the Eagles made a big change yesterday with Petullo out. But what struck you from the game on Sunday? I mean, it was a frustrating watch, as so many Eagles games were this year. The creativity the 49ers had, their execution on offense got me. And, man, I thought the Eagles had chances in that last drive. They moved the ball right down the field, had a chance, didn't do it. What hit you on Sunday watching it?
It was a lot, but the effort was the key. So, for me, that was the biggest takeaway for me from the game. And watch every play multiple times. It took me 2 days just to get through all the film because I wanted to go back and make sure that I was sure about what I was going to say and what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. But the effort level for the playoffs. Playoff is a time where, you know, there's no tomorrow. There's an extra effort. Some of those plays on the backside as a defensive end, you're like, hey, I may not run to that. It's week 7, you know, somebody has that, you know. But in the playoffs, everyone is giving max effort. And that's not what you saw. The first play of the game when it came to A.J. Brown going to dig out a safety, he stopped Saquon for a 20-yard run, just not having effort for it. And that was consistent throughout the game. And after the play, he looks back at the quarterback and starts pouting a little bit about the play. And it was his fault. It was just an alignment thing for him. And multiple run plays that happened, literally the receiver, mainly AJ, but Devontae's effort began to wane as well. Mm. So I was like, dude, this is starting to become an infection. And that mentality carried over to the passing concepts. Because when you don't have that dog in you to fight for a playoff, you know, position next week and continue your season, it's what are you playing for at that moment? And just think about in that game. I saw Brock Purdy diving head first for a first down. Mm. Did I see Jalen do that?
I didn't.
Not one time. I saw him slide. No one had the urgency that it was no tomorrow. We would have thought that game was a regular week 5 in the NFL. No, we didn't match their tenacity, their tenaciousness.
I mean, Hugh, that's eye-opening
that's
to hear like
that.
That's
an indictment.
Yeah, it is an indictment.
When you put it on.
I saw some of the clips you posted on Instagram.
When you put it on,
AJ one you referenced. I mean, he didn't try. He just didn't try.
And you can see it because they had Darius Cooper in the game. Because Darius Cooper in the ball game, they had a package for him and it was working. A lot of things that he did was working. When it was his time to go up to the safety, when it was his time to be the lead blocker, the play worked. Mm. You put AJ in that situation, it doesn't.
All right, so we're on this, so let's go here. Do you think Sunday, and I know, you know, Howie's got a lot of scissors to make and cap and all that, but just big picture, do you think the Eagles should consider moving on from AJ Brown? I mean, I know he's still a big talent and he's got 1,000 yards. But I just add this whole season together, Jason, from his attitude, from his approach, from what you're talking about. I do think physically he has slipped a little bit from where he was a couple years ago. I don't think he's as explosive. I would look to trade him this offseason. Would you?
AJ's problem is in between his ears. I don't think that he's falling off the earth physically as much as, you know, some would think. He has a problem of looking at everything else around him and not what his job is. Mm-hmm. The job of being a team captain, the job of being a team leader, the job of showing up when your number is called, he's forgotten about that part of it. Maybe he's counting stats or counting what the offensive coordinator is doing or what the quarterback is not doing, and he's not internalizing and focusing on himself. So this is my thing. Growing up, if anybody's grown up with a person with any type of an addiction or any type of habit, the emotionally dysregulated or the dysfunctional person kind of sets the tempo of the whole house.
Sure. Mm.
Oh, dad is home. He's been drinking a little bit, so let's everyone avoid him. Now you are not free and comfortable in your own home because of this person. Mm. Same way with the kid that has temper tantrums and begins to control the parents, right? Because of their emotional makeup and need.
It kind of sucks the emotional oxygen out of the room.
Out of the room. Yeah. And what does it do? It teaches the other kids to get what they want by acting like
out.
That.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a problem. I mean, to me, that's a problem.
And that's what I'm starting to see, because I have never watched a game where I questioned Devontae Smith's effort when it came to run blocking. This game, I did at times. Mm. And I've never seen that.
That's
right. So what I'm saying is that this is behavior patterns that's stemming from AJ. And now as a coach, when you put yourself in front of the team and you're allowing this person that's dysfunctional to get away with things that nobody else is able to get away with, you lose credibility and respect each and every time.
Yeah. But my question to you is this. Okay, without a name, what do you think needs to happen as far as the office? What kind of offensive coordinator do you think we need for this football team? Do we need one that caters to Jalen, or one that's going to get the most out of this offense as a collective?
Here's the thing. Like, if you're going to fire Kevin Petullo, and Kevin Petullo is not the only problem. Everyone's celebrating, Kevin Petullo.
Well, it's a head on the stick. Sacrificial lamb, yeah.
This game wasn't a Kevin Petullo thing. And that's the honest truth. The last call was a Kevin Petullo thing. But pretty much in that game, every single play, there was somebody to throw the ball to. On pretty much every single run play, if it was blocked correctly, it would have had yards. This was a player's game. The players did not execute in this ball game. So if you're going to make this about Kevin Petullo being fired and it's about Jalen now, because that's what this message says, Jalen, this is your team. This is about you, and we're going to cater to you. You got to get someone that's not going to ruffle his feathers too much. Let him do what he wants to do. Because this is this precedent that you're setting, right? Because now you have to go with someone that kind of knows him, a Brian Daboll, right? A Frank Wright that kind of know his makeup through a friend from Nick Sirianni, right? Someone like that that's not going to change it. But if you're asking us to come in and, do a guy like Clay Kubiak or Zach Robinson, like these guys that Mike McDaniels, like you have to become so much better reading the game and throwing over the middle and trusting it with confidence and controlling motions and having guys in funky situations. And is Jalen willing to do that? I don't know.
My question to you is this. Okay, you talk about bad behavior. Now, we've all heard speculation that and especially in the press conference where Jalen was noncommittal when they asked him about Kevin Petullo. Isn't that kind of, in essence, rewarding bad behavior? Like, if Jalen really was on the podium trying to get Kevin Petullo out of here and they got him out of here, now you get his guy. Isn't that kind of, in a sense, rewarding bad behavior?
Well, Jalen has had multiple opportunities, whether it's a couple off season ago when he had a chance to say, Nick Sirianni, I may not, always agree on everything, but that's my coach. I wouldn't want to play for anybody else. That's the high road that you always take as a player. The high road would have been saying, it's not all Kevin Petullo. Some of it's me, some of it's this, some of it's that. Mm-hmm. And we'll evaluate that at the end of the season. But I believe that he's a good coach and that he can coach here. And you have your own personal conversations with the coach after, with the management. I'd say, hey, man, get him out of here, whatever it is. But there's a certain way to handle that. I don't think he handled it well. But yes. Yeah. Did I avoid your question a little bit? Yeah
you did. You did. I mean, it's cool. I mean, we're good. I got that.
I get it. So I want to ask you this. So you mentioned there, Jason, that there was a play where Brock Purdy dove for a first down, right? And we didn't see Jalen do that on Sunday.
No.
Brock Purdy also outrushed Jalen Hurts in the game. Jalen Hurts had 14 yards rushing. So as we're going to get into this conversation we're having with our audience about what the next scheme should be, what the next coordinator should be, right? Like, what should it be? And a lot of people say, well, you gotta do it to Jalen's strengths. I ask you, watching him for an entire season, watching him in this game, do you still think he is an impact runner? And there's two parts to that. One, is he willing to be? And then two, physically, is he? Because Jason, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of his career. I have no idea. I know this. If you add up college and the NFL, he has run the ball almost 1,500 times. So I am wondering, physically, how much more is in that in those legs? And then with that, how they build the next offense. Is his legs a big part of it, or is that going to start to wane more and more?
Well, yeah. So it would be foolish not to use his legs, right? Because that's a part of Jalen's game at his highest level,
yep.
is being able to use his legs, right? The leading rusher in the Super Bowl and Saquon's not getting yards and all those types of things, right? So I believe that Jalen should be looking to use his legs at times. And I think it's, I think it's a mentality. Mm. There's this threshold that, you know, we've won a Super Bowl and I shouldn't be required to do certain things anymore. It's sort of like graduating from special teams where guys are like, man, you know, I don't have
to play special teams no more.
it's like I'm above that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a sense of that with this team and maybe even Jalen Hurts, because there's times in the ball game, especially in this game, even on the last play, just think about this. The last play call was horrible. It was the worst call you can call in that situation. It was basically all go special. Oh, not special, but all go. All right, so bad call. Why throw it three people covered? No one's pressing you. You can make a move in the pocket right. and try to extend the play. How many times did he try to extend the play?
Not often.
Not much. He rolls out of the pocket to the right, and he throws the ball out of bounds.
Which, that play is going to haunt me the entire offseason. You have three downs left in your season. I can't throw one out of bounds.
It's that like I said, that mentality. Like I said, I think that the team was infected before this particular game, that they didn't believe the way that they should have and fought like they should have. And you got to question it, man. That I saw guys that like quit out there. That's what I saw. Today.
Well, it's indicting, but it feels accurate based on, I think a lot of people felt the same thing. All right, 215-592-9495. Let's go to the phone lines here. And then I want to throw at you some concepts on the next coordinator and what we think is best for Jalen and the offense moving forward. Jack in Norristown is up. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey, Jack. What's up, buddy?
I blame a lot of the stuff this year on Sirianni, and Kevin Petula was not ready for the job. We learned that after 6 or 7 years, games, I mean. Jalen's going to be our quarterback for the next 5, 6 years, and we could do a lot worse. We got to get a coordinator, either an old head or a young guy, some hot shot out of college, that come up with something new. But there's a lot of problems. And you can't tell me that A.J. Brown, with his problems, he put a lot of tension on Jalen, too. So,
well, and then he didn't play great on Sunday. I mean, as Jason just alluded to, and he dropped passes. I mean, it was a bad A.J. game when you add it together.
The guy didn't play great a lot of times all year long.
I agree.
He doesn't get it that there's no I in team. He don't get that. He's the only guy that they win the Super Bowl, and after the Super Bowl, he's whining that he only caught 6 passes.
I mean, Jack, it caught all our attention. It bothered me then. I mean, I know. I mean, it kind of set the tone for the season. Like that, I mean, Hugh, we spent a lot of time on that Instagram post after the Super Bowl. It did kind of, you kind of play it out. I mean, were we really surprised it played out like this?
Yeah, it was kind of odd for him to say it the way that he said
it. Of course it was.
We went the whole offseason trying to figure out what he actually meant. I gave him kind of credit for saying it because I was trying to pick it apart to try to feel what he was feeling. But to answer your question, yeah, it did kind of set the tone.
Yeah, it did. All right, Jack, we appreciate the phone call. All right, go ahead, Jason.
There are certain things that if you're going to be that person, you got to produce.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm talking about all the time.
Right.
If you're going to be that person, you got to T.O. produce. You know what I mean? If you want to be that. And the post that he didn't drop it, but he ran away from contact. And I can say that knowing the receiver. Like, I can say that.
You're talking about the final drive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because there were three balls that it felt like he could have caught. One was a deep shot, and I don't know if the wind killed it. Maybe it died.
That wasn't a final drive.
Right.
That wasn't a final drive.
I was trying to figure out which one you were talking about.
No, no, not the final drive.
Okay.
But there was a drive later in that game. I want to say it was at the he had three straight plays. I want to say it was in the second quarter. He had a post in cover four. Everyone wants a post in cover four. He run the post. Jalen could have thrown a better ball. Give you that. Could have thrown away a better ball.
Yep.
And it was closer to the safety.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And instead of going right to the ball, he looked over and straightened up. That's a sign that you are afraid of the safety.
Okay, I think that was the first one. Then there was one by the sideline, right?
The one by the sideline, he just lost at the line of scrimmage.
And then the last one was the last drive of the game.
The last drive of the game.
It was a bad day. All right, let's unpack, and we're going to go back to the final play, because I don't want your thoughts, and I want to hear what you said, hear what Nick Foles said. I want you to respond to him. But a lot on the final play coming up. But let's go to the offensive coordinator search and what they got to do here. I want to play this for you. This was Jaws on the morning show, and they were talking about different kinds of offenses, right? Different coordinators from different places coming in. Here's how Jaws reacted to the idea of a certain type of offense and how Jalen might handle it. Here's Jaws.
So, Jaws, if they try to reinvent the offense, and I mean a new coordinator says we're going with different concepts, do you think Jalen would effectively run, for instance, West Coast concepts or whatever, other stuff? Do you think it would work or not?
No. I'm going to speak personally on this because, you know, hey, I played 17 years. I played with a lot of different systems. It's like learning a new language when you try to go to a new system. You know, John can speak as well. He played in other systems. It's hard. You know, you get to a point where Jalen's been in this system now, you know, 5 years. He knows exactly what to do every single play, what his responsibility is, what everyone's responsibility is. To change that and go to a new style of offense, I think it's a big change. It's not like, hey, oh, let's just start calling, you know, plays this way. Let's start running this way. Let's start doing the reads this way. It is hard to, number one, wipe out the old way of doing things, and number two, learning a new way of doing things. It is very, very, very difficult.
All right, so Joe asked the question using the West Coast as kind of the backdrop. Let me use the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan kind of offense, because that's the new one, and some of the names you mentioned are like assistants to the Kubiak guy. Is that where they should go, or is Jaws right? Like, it would be square peg, round hole.
Well, so let's get something straight. The thing that I disagree with Jaws in this sense, everyone runs the same plays in the NFL. So all the offenses are kind of like amalgamated. They're kind of mixed together, right? So there is Jalen has run plays off pass play action that's similar to what San Francisco does.
Sure.
It does, you know, he does that each week. It's about the terminology. The terminology changes, the motion changes, the responsibility changes, and the way you view the game changes. And that's what Jaws is basically saying. So do I think we should go to a Sean McVay style Kyle? I don't think so. I think they ask too much of the quarterback. I said this last week. They basically play the game in between the numbers.
And Purdy made a lot of throws in between the numbers Sunday.
In between the numbers. And you have to know for sure what the defense is doing. You can't be wrong. And if you are wrong, you get two interceptions in the game.
Yeah.
You know, so, and so with that being said, I don't think that that's in Jalen's wheelhouse. I think Jalen has a way of going about it. Okay, this is my read over here, but I have something backside that I can go away from the read in order to protect myself.
So I agree with you, and I agree. And Hugh was saying something similar to start the show about terminology, plays.
Because I always thought that it was more terminology than anything, because everybody's running the same concept.
So with that, should the Eagles be looking for the right system for Jalen Hurts, or should they be looking for the best offensive mind? And if Jalen molds himself into that, great. If not, they got to get a new quarterback. Like, this feels to me like a little bit of a pivot point for the franchise.
No, I think they should get the best person for Jalen with the most experience, because the person with the most experience will have the ability to go in and out of different styles, right? So it's not just this particular way.
Right.
It's a guy that has learned over the years to be adaptable. That's why I think Brian Daboll is a good hire, because you've had Jalen, you understand him at Alabama, you've had Josh Allen, you know what Tom Brady is like.
Daniel Jones was a mobile quarterback.
You have a bunch of these particular guys, and you've caused them to be productive, right? So I think that's the answer. And someone is going to challenge him.
And he would.
I think that the most important thing. But let me get this straight. I'm going to try to ask this in a way where it people can digest what I'm asking. So basically what you're saying is we need to run an offense that's easy for the quarterback to process all of the information he needs to process and be relatable.
Yeah.
because basically,
I think that's the skill set of Jalen. I think Jalen is more comfortable with things being stagnant. Mm. This is not just something that I'm just thinking.
This is something
that I know.
I know you do.
I know this, right? So this is more of him liking certain things, but you need a guy that understands what he likes, how to sequence it better. Right, that's the problem. What Jalen talked about, the sequence.
Yeah, you talking about like chess match, you setting up different moves.
Yeah,
and stuff.
When plays are called and that type of thing. So yes, are they going to get someone that's going to help Jalen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my other question would be this. Okay, so you're basically saying we're going to run an offense that keeps Jalen comfortable, but with that being said, Jason, how do you get him to grow?
Evolve.
Yeah. Thank you.
How do you do that?
You get
someone that's going to implement the new things in a way that you see his progression, right? And a guy that has the respect. Part of this is Kevin Petullo first time, mm-hmm. is that the respect factor isn't there.
Yeah.
When you have a certain guy and you can say, hey, you know what? I had Tom Brady, or I had Daniel Jones, or I had Andrew Luck, or I had this person.
Pedigree.
There is something that perks your ear up a little bit more from the quarterback position. Okay, this guy may know what he's talking about. And then it's kind of confirmed with the way that he thinks and when it's successful in the game.
Would you have any concern? Dable has some hothead to him.
Yeah.
Sirianni's got some hothead to him. That feels a lot of combustible parts on the sidelines. Would that concern you?
Can it be more combustible than what we've had?
Maybe not. Throw a big dominant there.
Can't
yeah,
get no worse.
Yeah,
can't
you might
no
be
worse.
Right. All right.
I don't know. I don't know. And maybe with Jalen's demeanor, I think that he probably can. I think with Jalen's demeanor, it probably would be okay because the way that
he's even keeled. Yeah,
he's the one that's kind of even keeled.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Bruce.
Bruce at work? Bruce?
I'm here.
We know you are. Bruce, what's up, pal?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, so, that's the whole thing about Jalen. You know, I got several points on this whole situation. First of all, Joe, I love your suggestions for OC, except for number three. I don't want anything from Cleveland, so I'll be that right.
Out on Stefanski. No Cleveland trash.
Hold on, who'd you say, Joe?
So the five names I had number one was Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
Number two was Todd Monken. I want to get your thoughts on him. We'll expound on that. Three, I had Stefanski. Four, I had Kingsbury. Five, I had Nate Shieldhouse from the Rams.
From the pass game.
And then Dable was kind of my wild card, but I worry about the combustibility of Dable and Sirianni, and he just feels. But I understand your point on his pedigree and what he's done. Go ahead, Bruce.
Agree. So here's the thing about Jalen. So yeah, I mean, one of the best things they could have done. I never agreed with the hire.
What you doing, man? Going underwater.
The way they handled this situation, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Jalen is part of the issue. And there's two things going on here. Jalen and Sirianni. I'm not going to get into Sirianni. I think he just gets one more year because he's a bobblehead. Sirianni's a bobblehead simply because of the fact that he rode his ACs, his OCs and DCs to success when they had good years. He does not have a strategic bone in his body. He does not have the ability to address problems to synchronize the team and go in the direction that they go in. They're terrible at, they mismanage the use of Tank, Bixby, in situations like that, and he just does not have it. But if we get a good OC, he will be buoyed. Here's the thing about Jalen, though. My thing is that Jalen, I think it's inexcusable after 5 years that he doesn't know how to throw a wide receiver open. If they're not getting space, he doesn't know how to do timing routes. He doesn't know, he doesn't throw screens very well. These are basic things. So this is the kind of thing. And so Jalen, if you take away his running, he's very limited in the kind of pass routes that he has to throw.
Well, Bruce, I think he needs his legs. I mean, I think it was a big detriment down the stretch of the season that for whatever reason he wasn't using them. All right, Jason's here with us for another segment. Well, get your phone calls up. You want to talk to Jason, ask him a question. Some calls in. Plus, An observation Nick Foles had about the final play on the game side. Let's go through that final sequence. Jason's thoughts on the final four plays of the Eagles season, including fourth down. What could have been different? What should have been different? Nick Foles' take and more on the coordinators. And I want to get Jason's thoughts on Todd Monken, who I think is a good option here. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.